Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 402 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by actor Kevin Bulliber, and we're going to talk a little Outsiders, which is the latest offering from Nashville Children's Theater. So we're going to get into that conversation with Kevin just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High-interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
All right, IDSers. I'm joined by Kevin Bulliber, who's going to talk a little Outsiders with me. And he's doing the Outsiders at Nashville Children's Theater. So welcome, Kevin. How are you? Long-time listener, first-time caller, I guess, right?
Yeah, I suppose. That's true, yeah.
So how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. Just taking today's my day off from rehearsals, so I'm enjoying doing nothing, relaxing my brain and my voice, mostly.
I bet. Now, who are you playing in The Outsiders?
I am Ponyboy.
Ponyboy. So are you channeling your C. Thomas Howell?
Yeah, but basically, I am the narrator in the show, and you can tell as you come see it. I don't really leave the stage, and it's pretty intense in that way. But yeah, it's a blast. It's really one of my dream roles too, actually, because I grew up reading the story and like fell in love with it when I was a kid, and fell in love with the children's theater too. So it's kind of a double dream thing going on here.
Yeah, yeah. Now how realistic? I mean, not realistic. How faithful is the play to the novel to the movie? I mean, is it all pretty much?
The movie. I mean, obviously, the movie's going to be different because they've got a few more like artistic things and choices that they can do. For the most part, a lot of the language is lifted straight from the book. Like most of the words and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything we say. Most of my narration. Most of what anyone says is either in the book or a slight rewording from part of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty true to the book in that sense. Obviously, there's a few things in the book that you can't really change. There's a few things that, like, there's a lot of smoking going on in The Outsiders that I don't think kids... Now, I think people would kind of frown upon us smoking the entire show. So there are a few...
Well, let's not forget, it is set in 1965 or something like that, right?
Yeah. So in the show or in the book, we're smoking all the time. Ponyboy's probably the biggest smoker, but in the show we've kind of shied away from that mostly. I think there's maybe one or two characters that actually smoke, but it's in passing and it's not kind of what's the word? Like glorified.
Right. So what's been the challenge for you?
The challenge has been actually. The set is going to be magnificent. The set is, like, it's fully usable. Like, you can climb on it and all this other stuff. So the set is going to be something to see. But for me, the challenge has just been, since Ponyboy is kind of the driving force, I never leave stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I should be tired, but at the same time, like, we're running it 4 or 5 times a day, and we're doing parts of it that are just kind of mentally and physically just draining, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So
I'm like,
go ahead.
Talking the whole time too. So it's a lot of work for me and probably other cast members too. But you know, I don't know what they're up to. Yeah, I only know, you know, from my experiences, and it's going to be a really great show. High intensity, high energy. Once it gets going, it goes.
Uh-huh.
But I think the most challenging thing for me has just been how much energy I've needed to take into rehearsal, and then how little I have when I leave.
So, I mean, it's a. I know Eric Pester Crosby did some fight choreography. Do you guys have the big brawl? I mean, is it a
good? Oh yeah,
massive...
there's a big brawl, and Eric does a fantastic job making it like trying to think of his exact word choice, but he was like, you know, it's not necessarily realistic. The way I described it, it's kind of like a what do you call it? It's kind of like an opera. It's kind of like a rock opera. So it's really high stakes and high energy, but like it's really interesting because most people would be like, you know, this is in the great scheme of things. A lot of the stuff we're upset about and the things that the kids fight about aren't really that important. But to us, it's kind of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eric, what he's done with the fight choreography is he's made it to where like it does not glorify fighting. It makes it it looks really dangerous, basically.
Right.
It's a very dangerous and feel and violent, and it should be just a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, we haven't gotten the lights rigged up yet on it, but as it stands, the big brawl is going to be like a big point in the play, and it goes on for a little while, and we've practiced and practiced and practiced. And I think that's actually the first thing we did,
mm-hmm.
and we're still working on it. So the brawl should be it's showcased and it's big.
So what has it been like for you as an actor to kind of address this? You kind of mentioned it was a dream role, but it's also kind of very the whole story is kind of iconic in a way that how has there been any weight about that or thought of that of I mean, this isn't just some random character you're playing, you know, as the weight of what this character's become to so many people.
Yeah, I think that right there, I try not to think about, like, disappointing people in the way I'm doing Pony Boy there, but, yeah, it's just,
that.
Like, there's, yeah, hopefully, there's so many people that can relate to this, or I'd say probably, like, most of the people I talk to, either they have no idea what the heck I'm talking about when I talk about The Outsiders, or they're just like, oh my god, stay gold, Pony Boy!
Yeah.
So it's been a big outcry for me just to have like so many people tell me to stay gold the minute I tell them I'm in The Outsiders, the children's theater. But to portray Pony Boy is going to be, you know, I'm hoping I'm doing them justice, and it's a great experience to be able to kind of delve into the character because you read the book and you see it through Pony Boy's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then to actually like for me to actually be able to focus as Pony Boy, you know, like what is actually going on behind his head and in his head and all that stuff besides the narration. And hopefully I'll do him justice. I think I've got a pretty good hold on, you know, at least my Pony Boy and what he's like. So, well, yeah, it's a little daunting. I hadn't really thought about it, to tell the truth. A little daunting to have to, you know, live up to other people's expectations. I suppose it's kind of like a movie.
Right.
You take someone's favorite book and you turn it into a movie, and by God, you better do it good or everyone's going to complain about it.
So, I mean, to be fair here, I mean, why do you think that something is, we mentioned the smoking earlier, but I mean, it's clearly a dated script. Why do you think it's still relevant today?
Well, I think that, like, most of the stuff, even though it is dated, I mean, the kids are smoking, and that's basically unheard of. And well, like, you know, little kids are smoking. You know, my Pony Boy's 14 and he's the biggest smoker out of the group. That's very dated. But it still deals with most the problems that kids nowadays have. Like, you've got these social structures that are still in schools, and no matter what adults say, like, you know, oh, I think we give them uniforms, it's going to really separate the haves from the have-nots, and like, you know, meld that group. And I'm just like, no, there's always going to be that social strata, and there's always going to be kids that are luckier than others. So the greasers are from the wrong side of the tracks, they're poorer than the socias, and And I think that that just really talks to a bunch of, like, speaks to a bunch of kids. And then it also deals with, like, I know from my own personal experience growing up, I lost a few friends, one to leukemia and one to, or wasn't leukemia, but cancer of some caliber when I was in the fourth grade. And it deals with loss and kind of how these characters handle it. And I think it portrays it because Ponyboy takes it one way. The rest of the group takes it another way. Like Derry and Soda Pop, Pony's brothers, they take it a certain way. And then Dallas, the kind of the bad seed, I guess, in the group of the Greasers, he takes it in a completely opposite direction. So it shows the different facets of dealing with loss and change. And I think it just really speaks to kids and to adults, too. It deals with things that are still pertinent. They're timeless. They might be based in the world of, you know, 96 Rebel Without a Cause and Rumblefish and all that stuff, but it deals with things that are actually important to the kind of human condition.
Right. Now, has Scott done anything to separate you, to like treat you guys differently, the Socias and the Greasers? I just read in the movie they had all the Greasers stay on the ground floor of the hotel. And they put all the Socias in the luxurious accommodation. So has there been any sort of weird actor, director trick going on there?
Not necessarily. Everyone's pretty much like on level playing field there. I mean, all of us, but like when we're not on stage together, we're all hanging out and all that stuff. But there's been some talk of like maybe just all the Greasers going out one night or something like that. But yeah, no actor's trick. I heard that they put all the Greasers in the film, they put all the Greasers not just on the ground floor but in like one room.
Right.
And so then apparently Patrick Swayze would kick out the rest of the younger cast because he'd bring girls home during the shooting. But I don't know if that's, you know, that's all hearsay. Internet can't, you can't put anything on the internet that's not real, right?
That's right. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. That's his famous quote.
Yeah. His quote. But yeah, so there's not been any any fancy actor director tricks there, but it's been a fun experience just kind of hanging out. And I think mostly Eric, again, with the fight choreography, one of the biggest things that he was just like, I think the outsiders live in a world of it's not touching, it's like patting. And so pretty much the whole time, like when we're talking to each other, we're like hitting each other in the chest, you know, and just like it's a lot of bonding through kinesthetic touch, I suppose, but most of it is just like slap them on the chest or hit them on the shoulder and on the back and just all kinds of things. A lot of hitting, a lot of shoving, but in a loving way. If that makes any sense?
Totally, yeah. Well, boys being boys, right? Essentially.
Yeah, boys will be boys type thing.
So, as we record this, you're still in rehearsals. When do you guys open?
We open the 18th. Oh man, it's creeping up, isn't it?
Yep, next weekend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So 18th is, I think there's a pre-show thing on the 18th, and then on the 19th is the actual like paying tickets, and we're going to be going. I think Mondays are only day off once the show starts, and the rest of the time we are, two shows a day, three shows a day sometimes.
Cool.
A lot of shows for kids. And then on the weekends, I think we've got some matinees and all that good stuff.
Sweet. Yeah, I know they'll probably do maybe one or two public nights or something along that lines for adults. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, man, I'm looking forward to it because I mean, the movie was 30-something years old or something like that, getting close
to it. It's a little dated.
And but I was 10 when I saw that, man. And I remember... It's almost even today. If it's on, it's one of those that the story just, if it's on, it stays on, and I'll watch it through to the end. You know, so.
Oh yeah.
I'm totally looking forward to that. So, I will have the ticket links and all that sort of stuff on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, break legs, man. Thanks for chatting with me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Jim.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
So that's it. I'd like to thank actor Kevin Bulliver for phoning in today and chatting a little bit about the Outsiders and NCT and the experience there. And again, all ticket information for the Outsiders at Nashville Children's Theater can be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, if you want to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling 615-866-1282. That's our voicemail line. Leave us a message. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @ inexplicable capital D, capital S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot via the show's Twitter feed. So next week, we're going to get into something exciting, and as we do sometimes, we'll see what we see when we get there. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
That's a detergent.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.